For that introduction, and Reverend Fathers, thank you for being with us and providing us with the sacraments and your words of wisdom. And it's great that you men have come to this inaugural, again, men's conference under the banner of the Canadian Martyrs. And I know the Canadian Martyrs well because I live in Midland, and my house is 2 minutes away from the Martyr Shrine. And I like to think sometimes that the ground, my front yard and my backyard, were possibly where the martyrs walked, and that I live on holy ground. So I'm a blessed man. I wanted to share with you today some of the, the wit and the wisdom of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Now, many of you know me as the gas man. You've heard me introduced by Kennedy and others as this gas man, and people ask me, how did I ever get that? Well, you know, 25 years ago, I started my own little business of an installation company, just installing stoves, dryers, water heaters. I mean, anything that burns gas, I hook it up. And, fed my family well for this many years, of course, just being a local fitter. But I wasn't afraid to wear my faith on my clothing. And you'll notice on the back of my t-shirts and my hoodies is the words, pray, trust, don't worry. Many people remember that with Padre Pio. But I wasn't afraid to give this message of witnessing to the cross and witnessing to those words of praying, trusting in God, and not worrying. But by chance, what the good Lord did was he got me one day by a God incident to pick up my first Fulton Sheen book. I was dropping one of my daughters off to Our Lady Seat of Wisdom Academy in Barry's Bay. And there, my good wife picked up a copy of Fulton Sheen's book called Peace of Soul. And the very first line in that book is, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. And when I heard that line, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved, a light went on. And I thought, who speaks in this type of language today? Who talks about our soul? And I knew that Fulton Sheen had something that was worth looking into. And then over the next little while, I just started to read some of his books. And after reading his book, Victory Over Vice, a book he penned in 1939, it was like I had a new found friend, a new parish priest in my life. And I think, you know, I read a book once that described a priest. And they said, a priest is someone who brings Jesus to the people, and then in turn brings the people to Jesus. And I thought, this is a beautiful description of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. He brings Jesus to the people in the sacraments, but he also then brings us to Jesus. And this is what Fulton Sheen did so well for many years on television, radio, and of course in print. You may have noticed I have a lot of Bishop Sheen books on my table. And I've been blessed in that I have some time on my hands. And I love, you know, editing and compiling books. And I realized that Fulton Sheen's books had not been republished in 70, 80 years. And so I took it upon myself to look into the rights and to republish these fine works. And many of these books you've seen, I guess, with Sophia Institute Press and different Catholic media outlets. I'm a regular on EW10 television. I have a weekly radio show heard on the Radio Maria network. I'm heard in Ireland, the Philippines, Australia, the United States of America, and in Canada. And so I'm blessed to be able to share this with you. So I wanted to just share with you 4 points from Fulton Sheen's writings that I think may be very much appropriate for this conference. You know, we're trying to reclaim Catholic masculinity and what Fulton Sheen can teach us. And, you know, I'm not saying that I read every one of his 66 books, but I've read most of them. And in there are many lessons, but I want to share with you some of the lessons that spoke to my heart. Now, the first lesson that I like to say that Fulton Sheen taught us was, it was through the, just the life of St. Therese. Fulton Sheen loved Carmel. He absolutely did. In fact, he would visit the religious sisters on a regular basis and ask them to pray for them. And as it turned out, the Fulton Sheen is a third-order Carmelite. He loves the Carmel. And of course, he loves St. Therese. And of course, he did many reflections on St. Therese's life. But what he wanted to say to us is that when we learn from St. Therese, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I use this often, is that St. Therese understood that God made her with a plan. And I like to say it's this line: you were made for eternity. Get used to it. Get used to it. And I think Fulton Sheen, you know, his television show was Your Life is Worth Living. God has a plan for each and every one of us. But it's the sense of you were made for eternity. Get used to it. You know, I was thinking this morning, because I've bought into this philosophy for many years now, that, again, we're all made for eternity. And just today is another day in eternity, and that we hope to be with our blessed Lord for all eternity. And we have to work out our fear, our salvation in fear and trembling. But still, it's that philosophy of remember that you're made forever. Never forget that. And that we can lose our soul, that we have to work on keeping our soul as pure and spotless as possible. And so there is that great lesson of unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. We need to work on saving souls, including our own, and remind ourselves daily that we were made for eternity. Let's get used to it. I think of how, you know, I said to you earlier that, you know, we are at war, and the little prayer book, Fulton Sheen's wartime prayer book, as my gift to all of you, is something that is that we have to take to heart, that Fulton Sheen gives us thoughts to the soldier. You know, he recommends to us the Blessed Virgin Mary. He recommends to us, you know, the Eucharist as often as possible. But those little prayers in that prayer book are the prayers that we should all be saying. And he wrote it so that every soldier that was in the war effort would be praying those prayers in the trenches. And of course, he made that booklet available to everyone at home. Those who were listening on the radio could write into the station and he would send that prayer book, because the soldiers were doing their part in the war, but we had to do our part by praying for their success, praying for their safety. And so we still have to do that. The second thing I want to bring to your attention that Fulton Sheen really stressed was the need to have the crucifix in our life. I brought with me to the conference the crucifix from my home. I'm kind of a blessed individual in that this, again, depiction of our Lord, Jesus the Listener, is from a group in Kontiopoli, up in Gravenhurst, Ontario. And the Passionist priest run that order. And I'll never forget this Passionist priest, Father Claudio. I was at a conference and he said to all of us, he asked this one question. He says, how many of you carry a crucifix in your pocket? And how many of you take a crucifix into your hand every day, take a look at the crucifix and thank Jesus for dying for you? And how many of you, you know, tenderly kiss the crucifix? And he was just asking us honestly, how many of you? And sadly, I think all of us had to say to Father Claudio, not me. Yes, I have a crucifix on my wall. I have a crucifix, you know, kind of, you know, in my drawer. I never would want to throw it away, but that's what I have. And he convicted a lot of us that day to say, where is the crucifix in your life? And as I started to read Fulton Sheen's books, he was really stressing that to us. You know, put a crucifix in your life. It's that beautiful reminder of our Lord's love for you. And when I think of how many crucifixes that Fulton Sheen gave away, this was his mission. when he would meet someone, he had a pocket full of tiny crucifixes, and he would give them to his friends and even absolute strangers, just to give them that little witness of the power of the crucifix. And so I recommend this often to everyone. I try to make it easy in the sense of, you know, people always say, well, I don't want to really wear a crucifix, or I don't want a big one like you just held up. Do you have any smaller ones? And so there's the beautiful part in crucifix, and you almost see them on every rosary now. When you look at the ones that are produced by Rugged Rosaries and the different rosary manufacturers, they're big on the part in crucifix. And because it has so much, so many indulgences attached to it, and this is one thing that we all need more of, is those indulgences. And so the part in crucifix is always my recommendation for people to have, just to carry it in their pocket. I mean, for me, what I did with my friend is we put together a bunch of part in crucifixes and just took some paracord. You know, everybody wants a paracord rosary now. And we just made little, you know, decade rosaries. But it's my way of having the crucifix always, you know, in my pocket, for me to look at the Lord and say, thank you for dying for me. Thank you. And so it's this challenge to put a crucifix into your life. Put it into your pocket so that you have that daily reminder. I mean, I have them everywhere, in my car, you know, on my nightstand. It's this whole thing of, if we want to become like Christ, we have to have something that reminds us of Christ, his great fortitude to just bear the cross with great patience. And so this is the key, is where's the crucifix in your life? Fulton Sheen said, he says, you know, the crucifix, it offends so many people because, one, it convicts people that when they look upon the crucifix, they realize they had something to do with this. It was our sin that put our blessed Lord on the cross. We're guilty of his death. And so this is why so many people are offended by the crucifix, because it convicts them, it guilts them. And they'll say, take that down. I don't want that, you know, up on the walls anymore. And in fact, in Canada, and our friends in the United States, they've legislated, I think, the crucifix out of many public buildings. I remember my generation, I'm 60 plus, these were everywhere. Every Catholic school had them in every room. Even public offices had a crucifix up, but now they've been taken down. And of course, one of the reasons is that Satan knows that this is his greatest defeat. He doesn't want us to look at this, because this is a very bad day at the office for Fulton, not for Fulton, but for Satan, in that he detests the crucifix, because it's that great sign of God's saving help. And so the world wants us to put these away, but yet our Lord is asking us to pick up the cross. To pick up the cross. And so Fulton Sheen is saying that very much so. In fact, he gives a 3-day challenge. He says, you can have a statue of the Buddha in your garden, you can have a picture of Niagara Falls on your wall, but if you put a crucifix on your desk for 3 days, it will change you. It will change you. And so if you haven't had a crucifix on your desk, or in your pocket, may I challenge you to do that, and you will receive many graces and blessings for that. So the crucifix, where is the crucifix in your life? You know, I think of Fulton Sheen and how he preached Christ and him crucified, the power of the cross, and the scriptures are full of, you know, these beautiful promises. But with the cross comes this great love story and this great sermon. We talked a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount today. Father was relating the Beatitudes. But really, this Sermon on Mount Calvary is a sermon of a dying man. It's this great sermon that contains so many treasures. And Fulton Sheen, many of you have watched a video, it's on YouTube, and it's called His Last Words. And it was in 1979. And Fulton Sheen got to the pulpit to give his annual Good Friday address. And he said, you know, this is the 58th consecutive year that I've spoken about our Lord's passion, his seven last words, his 58th consecutive year. Now, he said he began at four, which was not true, but again, he started, of course, when he was a newly ordained priest, preaching on the seven last words, but 58 consecutive years. He had something to say about this sermon. And so I'll relate to you that sermon. Our Lord on the cross utters his first words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we see that beautiful interaction between the good thief and our blessed Lord. This day you'll be with me in paradise. He then addresses the Blessed Virgin Mary and good Saint John and those words, woman, behold your son, and to the apostle he loved, behold your mother. Then the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He continues the sermon, I thirst, it is finished, and Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So it is this sermon that I want to share with you today, that I want to invite you to take it to memory. Because what I found by reading Fulton Sheen is that every year he took the seven last words and he applied it to a different area of our life. He wanted to make us think about the cross in all things, almost through the lens of the cross. I'll give you an example. In 1936, Fulton Sheen gave a series of Lenten talks, and he titled them Calvary and the Mass, where he took the seven last words of our Blessed Lord and applied it to, you know, again, the seven last words that our Lord spoke from the cross and the seven parts of the Mass. And then you look at it and you say, okay, the first part of the Mass is the Confiteor. And you think of the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you say, that connects, that connects. We come then to the offertory and the words of the good thief, you know, saying, remember me. And our Lord saying, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The good thief at that moment was joining himself into our Lord. He was the small host being put on the paten with the larger host. He was uniting his small cross to our Lord's large cross. And this is what we do in the offertory. We think of the part of the Mass, Sanctus, 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 holy, holy, holy. And we think of the third word from the cross, woman, behold your son. And to the apostle he loved, behold your mother. And we think of those words, holy, holy, holy. And when we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we know that she is the refuge of sinners. This is one of her titles. And that we need to go to her to become holy. And so it's very appropriate how Fulton Sheen would connect those words to that. Of course, the part of the Mass of the Consecration, our Lord is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's pouring forth the last drops of his blood, sacrificing everything for us. Of course, the Consecration. And then we think of the Eucharist, Communion, those words, I thirst. And then, of course, the Ita Missa Est, it is finished. And you see that connection between these words from the cross and Calvary, from Calvary in the Mass. And, of course, the last gospel is, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so he did that every year. Every year he would have another theme on the seven last words. 1935, he did the Our Father and the seven last words. In 1937, it was the Beatitudes and the seven last words. And I can share some of those connections, but I'm not here to be your university professor today, and I don't want to put you to sleep with all of these connections. But again, what Fulton Sheen was trying to do for us was to say, remember our Lord. When you look at what our Lord said and what he asked us to remember, he didn't say, you know, write down all of my parables, write down all of my miracles. He only asked us to remember one thing, and that was his death. He says, remember my death. And this is what we do, of course, when we remember our Lord in the Mass. But we also remember the seven last words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son, and the apostle loved, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst, it is finished. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This is our scripture memory verse that I'd like you to just ponder on, especially during the season of Lent, to get that into your head. And then as you start to realize that Fulton Sheen, he wanted us to practice virtue. He wanted us to overcome the seven deadly sins with the help of the seven last words. And Father spoke beautifully of how we can use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to, again, to attain holiness, to turn away from, you know, sin and to practice virtue. And in fact, it was the very first book I ever read of Fulton Sheen was the book Victory Over Vice. And it was the book that I like to say changed my mind. It helped me to understand that God does love me and he's going to give me a way to get over the seven deadly sins. And so, again, for those who struggle with the sin of anger, we think of those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a very beautiful remedy, I like to say, because the truth is we really don't know our neighbor. We really don't. Only God knows, and that's why God is the judge. But yet, we have to understand that we've been forgiven so many sins that we have to show mercy. We have to forgive our enemies. And then, of course, God can forgive us. But if you struggle with the sin of anger, ponder those words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For those who struggle with the sin of envy, Fulton Sheen points to the good thief. And he actually looks at this encounter of the two thieves. And at the beginning of the crucifixion, both the thieves were blaspheming our Lord. They were joining in the condemnation of our Lord and the insults. But yet, when the good thief heard our blessed Lord say, Father, forgive them, something happened in his heart. And you could see how the bad thief was taunting our Lord and saying, you know, if you be the Christ, get us down from here. Use your power so that we can get down and continue with our thieving. The bad thief was asking for the wrong thing. He was asking to be taken down. The good thief was asking to be taken up. And what was beautiful about the good thief is that he rebuked his fellow thief and said, do you not fear God? We deserve this. We're paying for our crimes. He's innocent. We're guilty. And then he looked to the Lord and he said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The good thief had no envy in him. And that was the real saving liner there. And I think he inspires lots of us because how many times do we hear people insult the faith, challenge us and say, you Catholics, you know, why do you believe this or why do you believe that? Yet, the good thief, he pitied. He had pity. And that was, again, his saving grace. But do we have that holy boldness to be like the good thief, to correct our fellow thieves in this world, our fellow sinners? So again, he's a great inspiration for many of us. And also that he offered some compassion to our Lord. And I think this is what the Holy Face, you know, devotion does, is it gives us an opportunity to compassion our Lord. Saint Veronica compassioned our Lord, and Saint Dismas also compassioned our Lord. And so we think of how, you know, there is that sin of envy, but then, you know, men who struggle with the sin of lust. Fulton Sheen gives, of course, the Blessed Mother as the remedy, the entrustment, I like to say. Woman, behold your son, and the apostle he loved, behold your mother. Our blessed Lord was making reparation for the sins of the flesh because he was becoming unfleshed. You know, the scriptures say he looked like a leper and his flesh was hanging. And so this beautiful act of reparation our Lord makes, but yet he then says to us, go to Mary. She will help you in this area. You look to Magdalene, a redeemed, she is a woman that many of us look to and say, oh, who was her companion at the foot of the cross? The Blessed Virgin Mary. Because she knew that Mary was the refuge of sinners. And so again, we go to Mary, especially to try to overcome this sin. To the sin of pride, Fulton Sheen gives us this beautiful words of our Lord, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for many, they know that's the beginning of the 21st Psalm that begins with despair but ends in victory. And yet, our Lord humbled himself as reparation to come against sins of pride, intellectual pride, financial pride, etc. And of course, we can continue with the sin of gluttony and how our Lord says, I thirst, making reparation for that. And we gluttonize over food and drink, but also sports, so many things. I mean, Fulton Sheen, there's one line that I think brings the house down every time. You'll say, you know, it's funny, when men start to take care of their bodies, you know, with great intensity, they sometimes lose the sight of their soul. And he says, you'll notice there's more health clubs in America than there is retreat houses. There's more health clubs in America than there is retreat houses. And he says, everybody seems to want to work out 2 hours a day. But if I ask you to pray for 5 minutes with me, it's like you're asking the world of people, you know, I can't do that. That's too much to ask. And yet, so we have to really check that. You know, what are we gluttonous over? So again, the words, I thirst. To the sin of laziness, he says, it is finished. Our Lord has given us that inspiration to say that he came and did the will of the Father. God asked him to come into the world to give his life as a ransom. And so he sets that beautiful example for us to say, complete your life. To complete your life, to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, but to use those words, it is finished, as that motivation. And finally, to combat the sin of greed, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so, of course, our Lord is saying, give God your holy will. Sometimes as we get older, we get a little greedier. We think, I worked hard for this money. I don't want to give it away. But yet, our blessed Lord is saying, you know, it's all God's anyways. You know, just give it back to God. Trust in him. But again, it's those beautiful words of our Lord, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. And so it was that little book that put me on this path to learn the seven last words in 9 different ways. And it's amazing because, again, it's the power of the cross, the power of just looking at everything through the crucifix and our Lord's words from the cross. So there's so much there. One of the last things I'd like to say in my talk is, again, this relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary that Fulton Sheen had. And I have to be honest sometimes that this journey that we have as men with the Blessed Virgin Mary is sometimes difficult at best. Yes, we pray the rosary and we know she's our mother. But when I watch Fulton Sheen videos and how he talks about the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's almost like he really took to heart, like St. John. The scriptures say that, you know, when they took our Blessed Lord down from the cross, you know, St. John took Mary into her home. He did. And I sometimes think that Fulton Sheen, you know, lived that out to the fullest. He took Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, into his home. And I think this is what he says to us, is if you want to be formed as little Christ. And when you take the word Christian and you translate it, it means little Christ. If you want to become like little Christ, who better to go to than her? For she formed Christ for those 30 years in Nazareth in a hidden way. And she too can form us. Where do we find her? You know, with the apostles in the upper room. She's mothering the infant church, and she can mother us too. But for me, the conversion point, I think, that came with the Blessed Virgin Mary was something that I hadn't done in my whole life, that, you know, I have to go back to my own family life. I'm one of 12 children, and my parents were also foster parents, and so I had 44 foster children come through my life over the years. And so it was a busy house, and sometimes I didn't really love my mother or respect her in the sense that she was the disciplinarian. You know, you've got these brothers and these sisters, and we're kind of crazy. And so, of course, my mother had to mete out some punishment. And so we always thought she was wrecking our fun. And sometimes I think, you know, my struggle with loving the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, comes from because, you know, I can only give what I have. And so if I'm not really close to my own, you know, mother, I may have some difficulty in getting close to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it was funny, I was talking to my son one day, and we were talking about drunk drivers, and one of his friends was arrested, and we started talking about this, and you know, we see the story on the 6 o'clock news all the time where a drunk driver runs over someone and there's an innocent victim. And of course, we know that the drunk driver wakes up in jail and sobers up and sometimes has this clarity of thought, thinking, oh, wow, look what I've done. I've killed a child, and I feel so sorry. I should apologize to the victim's mother. And we always think, how is that going to go? Is that victim, the mother, going to say, I hope you spend your life in jail and, you know, go to hell for all eternity? Or will that mother say, you were drunk, you were temporarily insane, I forgive you, you know, you're forgiven. I don't know, you know, which way. And then one day, I was just all of a sudden thinking, I was looking upon the crucifix and reading Fulton Sheen, and he talked about how our Blessed Mother is at the foot of the cross, sorrowing the loss of her son. And she was innocent. She didn't deserve this. And all of a sudden, I made the connection to say, I'm that drunk driver. I'm the one that's guilty of her son's death. My sins put him on the cross. But I never thought of ever apologizing to her. And that day when I apologized to the Blessed Virgin Mary and meant it, all of a sudden, things just blossomed in my life. I had reconciled with my Heavenly Mother, because I remember my dad saying to my brothers and I, you know, he'd come home from work and he'd pull us aside and he says, you know, you made your mother cry today. You know, you threw a dart at her or you did something. I want you to go into her room and apologize to her. And then whatever she tells you to do, you do. And so we learned how to apologize to our mother. I thought, you know, we need to get into that practice also to apologize to her and for what she suffered, that she lost her son because of our sin. And so there's something very sobering, but also very uplifting about making that apology to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a little bit, I'm not saying far-fetched, but still I think you can understand where I'm coming from. Do we ever say we're sorry to her? Because yes, we say sorry to our Lord, we go to confession, we have sorrow for our sins, and we know it's offended the heart of Jesus, but how much we wound the mother's heart. And so this is something that we have to take to heart, is to, of course, make reparation for our sins, but to be good sons. I'll never forget one day I was at Mass and there was an elderly lady at the church, and I kind of had this sense that I needed to help her. And so I escorted her to the car and got her all buckled up and then said to her, "Do you have any words of wisdom you could give me? You know, words that would just I could take with me today." And I'll never forget that she must have been 90 years old, but she kind of grabbed me by the, you know, the kind of pulled me in, and she said, "Be a good son. Be a good son." And I kind of went away there and I'm going, "Be a good son. Did she talk to my mother? Like, does this lady know my mother?" You know? And it was those words that disturbed me, but then I started to get it. And it was that whole idea of be a good son. Be a good son. But be a good son to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When I think of those words, behold your mother, I look now at the word behold as two words. Be a good son and hold on to your mother. Hold on to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's so important. I developed a holy practice that works for me. I invite you also, was that, you know, I have this strained relationship with my mother. Yet I had to go back to say, when can I remember really loving my mother tenderly? And I remember as a child, my mother would wake us up in the morning. My mother was very musical and she'd sing to us and wake us up. And my mother was a great cook, and she made us dinner. She made us lunch, she made us breakfast. We had fresh soup every lunch from school. We come home from school and have lunch. So great breakfast, great lunch, great dinner. And then my mother would put me to bed and, of course, tell me a story, but just tell her that, you know, she loved me. And so now, throughout the day, I do the same thing. When I wake up, I thank the Blessed Mother for waking me up. And then when I sit down for breakfast, I ask Mary to feed me spiritually. I'm a big boy now, I can make my own meals, right? But I ask Mary to feed me spiritually. The same at lunch, and the same at dinner. And then in the evening, I ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to put me to bed, to wish me well. And it's a way that's worked so well for me to kind of build on that relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary, to make her real. St. John took her into his home and she lived with him and they would have done everything together. You know, do we take the Blessed Mother with us on, you know, to the grocery store? Do we invite her to sit down with us, you know, when we're doing our work at the computer? Different things like that, we can envision her in our lives. But it's easy to wish her a good morning, to thank her for waking you up, to ask her to feed you spiritually, and of course, blessing at night. We have to have this so that when I think of Fulton Sheen and how we love that one poem, "Lovely Lady Dressed in Blue, Teach Me How to Pray, for God was your little boy." And I don't have it off by heart, but still, it was this little poem that just somehow was so tender to say, she's in my life, and I want her to be in your life. And you can ask her questions and approach her. So again, this whole idea of being a good son, that when you hear the words, behold your mother, you think, be a good son and hold on to her. And of course, she is that great example, even in scripture. I think of the very last words of our Blessed Mother when she spoke at the wedding feast of Cana. What did she say to the servants? Do whatever he tells you. And I think this is what, again, you know, Fulton Sheen's lines would be to us too. Do whatever the Lord tells you. What does our Lord say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So very important. So very important. But she leads, the Blessed Virgin Mary leads by a holy example. Of course, she lost the Lord for 3 days and sought him. She thirsted for him. Of course, she was a great visitor in the sense that she visited her cousin Elizabeth to bring our Lord to her cousin. And are we doing the same, imitating her to bring our Lord to our friends, to our family? And so these seven last words that Fulton Sheen would just relate to us on a regular basis, and as I said earlier, every year it was a different theme, whether it be the Beatitudes, the Sorrows, the Our Father, the Mass, Virtue, Vice, and of course he even write about the intelligentsia, the moderns, those difficult people in our lives. And so Fulton Sheen offers us wisdom, but always through the lens of the cross, the lens of the cross. He, of course, was one to really give us what I'd like to say, some great spiritual practices, and I'll end with that, of just Fulton Sheen's love of the holy hour. And I think as Catholic gentlemen that we, you know, we struggle with our prayer lives, many of us, we wish we could pray more. But Fulton Sheen pleaded with America every time he was on the radio to try to carve out that 1 hour each day. There's a saying that if you win the morning, you win the day. So do your best to pray as much as you can in the morning. For that day, you'll be a winner, I guess. But still, this idea of a 1 hour a day. And what was beautiful is that he wasn't just speaking to Catholics. He was speaking to, you listen to his recordings, he'd say, no matter if you're a Jew, a Protestant, or Catholic, to make the holy hour. To make the holy hour. And so this rings true. And you know, I'm blessed that I've edited all these books. I think I have 30 of them under my belt now. And so if it's Fulton Sheen, I've either re-released it or put it into a collection. But still, after all these years, one of my best-selling books is the Holy Hour Prayer Book. And I just sometimes scratch my head saying, why this little booklet that Fulton Sheen penned in the 40s, and it's still very popular today, is because Fulton Sheen gives us a beautiful seven-step program where he just says to us, meditate on these seven little things each day. You know, meditate on the incarnation, that God so loved the world that he took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that every day, just how blessed we are to have that happen. He talks about how Christ lives in us today and how we have to acknowledge that the Lord is in us. And yet, we can lose our Lord. We can lose him. And that the divine life can be lost and we can lose our soul. As I said to you earlier, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. How important that mission is. And he talks about the duty of self-denial. We have to pick up our cross and follow him and deny ourselves. Again, we're entering the Lenten season and those opportunities for prayers, almsgiving, and fasting. Again, the Holy Ghost will inspire you of how much to do or what to, unite your suffering with our Lord's. But this whole idea of denying ourselves, and of course, giving glory to God, how important that is every day to give glory to God. And that we need the Eucharist, which is the need of our heart, and we need the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, these seven things Fulton Sheen would want us to just ponder every day. And of course, he was big on the spiritual practice of making a daily examen. And Fulton Sheen would encourage us to take the seven deadly sins, which is sometimes called the seven pallbearers of the soul, and to meditate each night on the seven deadly sins and how you can overcome them. Again, another opportunity to think of the seven last words, but to really, of course, make that examination and to pray contritely that you're sorry. And so how important that is, those spiritual practices of the holy hour, the daily examen. These are all things that Fulton Sheen loved. Of course, I mentioned, again, Fulton Sheen being a third order Carmelite and loving St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. And I think this is what Fulton Sheen would concur, that he loved this image of the Holy Face. He loved the image of our crucified Lord. And again, I think what we aspire to as Catholic gentlemen is that we want to become like Christ. And so sometimes we may have to, again, put a picture of our Lord in front of us. One spiritual exercise I've heard is that people will put a picture of the Holy Face on their mirror. Some put the Holy Face on their fridge, sometimes on their windows. But it's that old idea of if we want to become like him, we have to gaze upon him and just, again, use it as a tool, a psychology tool, I guess, but also an inspiration. And so there's something beautiful about the Holy Face, and I encourage everyone to take pictures of the Holy Face, be it Veronica's Veil, that beautiful rendition, or the Shroud of Turin. Each one speaks to us differently, but still, put the Holy Face in your life. And again, just know that I think of this one Fulton Sheen quote that is so true. He said that there are literally only 100 people in America who hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions who hate what they think the Catholic Church is. And know that a lot of people have been misinformed, and we, by the grace of God, will hopefully inform them of the truth. And the same could be true of Our Lady, that there's truly only 100 people who hate the Blessed Virgin Mary, but there are millions who hate or don't understand of who she is. And yet it's our mission to show the world just how beautiful a mother she is, and that she truly is the refuge of sinners. And so, my dear friends, I want to thank you for allowing me just to spend a little bit of time to share with you these words of a dying man, the words of our Blessed Lord from the cross, and how they can be used in your life. And again, I want to thank everyone who's been very generous to me. I know I take a lot of ribbing being the gas man, but one of the titles I have is the Pipe Padre, and it was one of my daughters that gave me that. So it's a nice moniker to have, but still, I'm here, of course, to be with you and to share with you my joy, which is Fulton Sheen, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and, of course, the Holy Face. And you never know, I might lend my cross to Kennedy one of these days, and we'll have to go to Kennedy's house for supper or something, but still, I'll leave that with you. My dear friends, Fulton Sheen always just used to say, of course, God love you. But the one line that I love that he said is that, you know, for your patience with me and for your kindness, may the good Lord grant each and every one of you a very high place in heaven. God love you.